The Gospel of Matthew, chapter 11, verse 1. And it came to pass, when Jesus had made an end of commanding his 12 disciples, he departed thence to teach and to preach in their cities. Now when John had heard in the prison the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples, and said unto him, Art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? Verse 4, Jesus answered and said unto them, Go and show John again those things which ye do hear and see. The blind receive their sight, and the lame walk. The lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear. The dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached unto them. Blessed is he, whosoever shall not be offended in me. John the Baptist was thrown into prison by Herod the king, for a matter about, he had married his brother's wife. And that gets in detail in another gospel. And we pick up here, right, in chapter 11, right after Jesus had dismissed his disciples to go off and do as he had commanded them. To teach and preach the gospel, to heal the sick, to prepare the people for the kingdom of God. And the king was present with them. And John had heard these things, and so he sends his disciples out to ask him, Are you he that should come, or do we look for another? Basically saying, Are you the Messiah? Without saying, are you the Messiah? He knew that he was a man of God, and so he thought, well, he'll know if he is, like, as John knew, I'm not the Messiah, but rather I'm preparing the way for him. And John thought, is this man also preparing the way for the Messiah? So he wants to know, are you the one we were looking for? And Jesus does not deny. He says, show him the things which you do hear and see. Because it's bad form to say, yes, I'm the Messiah. That's bad form. But it would be wrong to deny it as well. When the blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed. God gave him the power to do all these works, to testify of who he was. You know, so the people would know that a very special time had come on the earth. And that the Son of God was present among them. The dead are raised. And the poor have the gospel preached unto them. Because most of the, you know, the word gospel, euangelion, is good news. And in the world, the only good news is the good news for the rich. You know, the economy is on the upswing. You know, and so on and so forth. Most of the good news is good news for them. But the goodness of God is not for the rich. And the reason is this. It's not that they cannot partake of the gospel. Though there are not many. You know, not many rich men are called. But what? To gain Christ, as he had said in the last chapter, he says, He that loses his life shall save it. The rich have very full lives in the world. They are full of all the things and the pleasures that that this world has to offer. You know, they have much. And the gospel really takes those things away from you. Or it ought to put, I'll tell you what, if you receive the true gospel, it will put in your heart to cast much of that off of you. Or at least a certain knowledge that that must be done. It's very difficult, as Jesus said in another place, for the rich to enter into the kingdom of God. They have to unburden themselves of the riches. Because the good news is for the poor in this world, for those who do not have much in this world. Because For them, it is the gaining of everything. For the rich, they can gain eternal life, but first they have to lose this life, which they've prospered in so well. So you can see that the gospel is not so much for them. It's very rare that someone's going to want to take hold of that. Sell all thou hast and follow me. He departed very sorrowful because he was wealthy and had many possessions. But inasmuch as we can become poor in the things of this world, as much as we can care not for them, we can rejoice in the good news of Christ. But remember, the bringing in of eternal life for me is the loss of things in this world. And the less we have binding us to the world, the better news the gospel will seem. Because for those who have to unburden themselves, laying aside all protestations to the contrary, it's not easy to give up, you know, having things, wealth, prestige, and so on and so forth in this world. It's not easy to let go. And I think in our wealthy society, even the quote-unquote poor, and really, in this nation, there are so very few poor. I mean, truly destitute. There are definitely some destitute people. You know, I would be technically considered poor, but I would think that was a major miscarriage of justice to call me poor. I mean, I have so much. I have a home, so on and so forth. Yeah, I don't have a lot of money, but the poverty that existed in other times and in other places, even to this day, is much, much more stark. You know, even our poor are rich in the land of plenty. And he says, blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. The idea of offense, it means to stumble. What it means is, you know, we usually think of offended in the sense of, oh, that's offensive, it offends me. But really what it means is your offense is what caused you to sort of lose your stride. If you were going to believe in Christ, and then he says something that you can't receive, that is to stumble at him. You know, to be offended. Some word came that you could not receive.